It seems to me, joyfully speaking, that a lot of these children are preparing for the future. The boys are preparing to be priests and monks, and they're competing with me in my preaching and singing. And the girls are preparing to be nuns in the monastery, where they shall chant the divine office every day for the rest of their lives. Would that were true. Today, Quinquagesima Sunday, 50 days before Easter. In just a few days, we begin the holy season of Quadragesima, the 40 days, Holy Lent. It is indeed one of the most important periods of the Church's liturgical year. And of course, we have just finished one, the season of Christmas and Epiphany. But of course, that took place so that this could take place. As I said many times during the times that we had the wonderful nativity scene here on the altar, the baby who was on the altar came to die, not to live. We are born to live. He was born to die. And so now we have come to that part. And one of the things that we are given this Sunday, this magnificent Sunday, by Holy Mother the Church is this wonderful epistle of St. Paul. An epistle that is used all the time, misused rather, for a lot of nonsense. Because, and of course, among other things, they don't say charity any longer, they say love. But what is that? Most people don't even know what that means. Most people do not live it, do not have it. Here we say charity. And we are the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of them is charity. But of course, you cannot have charity if you do not have faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in all the truth that He has revealed and given to His holy church, to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the only one that He has founded. And we cannot have charity if we do not have faith. Hope, we need to have too. And of course, in these days of tribulation and trial, we most certainly need the virtue of hope. Hope that God will deliver us and extricate us from the enemy, just as He extricated the Israelites from Pharaoh's wrath. We are not crossing the Red Sea. We are crossing much worse. And we need to, in faith and hope, rely on Almighty God and on the Blessed Mother. She has done so many things for us. But then again, St. Paul also, as we go back, speaks to us of charity. And it tells us all the things that charity is. We do not need to read it again. He also tells us all the things that charity is not. And of course, as this season of Lent begins, we remember that the leitmotif points of Lent are penance, prayer, and almsgiving. This has to do with charity. All three of them are important. All three of them are necessary. And of course, our charity must all, it is not just the matter of giving something. It is a matter of truly loving from the depth of our heart, from the fullness of our heart, first of all, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the things of God, in particular, the most Holy Mother that He has given to us at the foot of the cross. And the saints and all the angels and all the wonderful things that He has given to us. And we will receive one of them on Wednesday. Just 2.5 days. And it's Ash Wednesday. We will receive. We shall have imposed upon our heads a cross made of ashes. Ashes from the burnt palms of past years. blessed. It's a sacramental. It is not a sacrament. It is a sacramental. And of course, I remind you that not only Catholics in the state of grace, but anybody else who is here may receive the ashes. Even those who are preparing for baptism, who are not yet baptized. And there are at least three adults who are preparing for that. And so, we will confer, after blessing them, the ashes on Ash Wednesday. And then, of course, this presupposes faith and hope, and it shows that we love God and that we love our neighbor. You cannot have love of God without having love of neighbor. We have seen this elsewhere. We do not need to repeat it. And so the cross that is put on our foreheads is a symbol of the fact that we are following Jesus Christ fully and completely in his holy church. And so these wonderful things that St. Paul speaks about, the virtue of charity, will be part of our own lives. But that is most necessary. And of course, St. Paul too reminds us that there will come a time when we are in the state of charity, which is equal to saying the state of sanctifying grace, that we will see God face to face. It is indeed a wonderful but awesome moment. On All Souls Day and the Requiem Masses of the Dead, we say, Day of Wrath, when we shall meet God. For we know that we are sinners. And he knows it. He knows things that you have forgotten. He knows things that you think and don't think anything of it, but he does. He knows every time you have disobeyed his commandments or the precepts of his holy church, and you think nothing of it. There's all kinds of horrible things that are being done in the name of this so-called love that has nothing to do with the virtue of charity. And so, we continue with the gospel that also speaks to us of charity. The charity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, elsewhere in the gospel, St. John tells us, God is charity. Jesus Christ is charity. Perfect charity. Complete charity. Fullness of charity. Of which we yearn to receive. And which we do, and then we lose it. We receive it by baptism. We receive it by confession. When we confess truly our sins. And of course, if we do not confess our sins, and if we skim over them without any thought whatsoever of the horror of sin which offends God Almighty. And that is true, perfect contrition. Then who knows if we will be absolved. And then our Lord comes towards this city. And all of a sudden, there is a blind man there, a beggar. What else could he do? He's not like so many in the society of today that are lazy and want other people to feed them. I honestly have very little pity for them, except that they're not right upstairs. And that is a very sad situation. All right, St. Paul says, he who wants to eat must work. So this guy was blind from birth. And so he hears this tumult, these people, the marching of these feet. It was loud. And then he asks, what is going on? As he was begging for money so that he could eat. And they say, Jesus of Nazareth approaches. And immediately he realizes. He has heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. That he is the Messiah, perhaps. That he is the Son of God. That he performs many miracles. He has made the blind see. Why not him? He has made the dead arise from their graves. Why not him? He has done all kinds of things. Why not him? So he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Have pity on me. Have mercy on me. And when we are in need, and the church today is in dire need, do we cry out, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of God, have pity on me. Have mercy on me. A lot of people think that they deserve all kinds of blessings. So they don't say, have pity on me. They just maybe say, I'm here. And our Lord says, so what? I created you, and I know you're there. So what's the big deal about that? You're there. Look at you. You are filled with sins. You sit in the mire of your filth. So what if you are there? That is not the way to pray to God. But this blind man did know how to pray to God. And he is an example. And that is why the church gives us this just 3 days before the beginning of the season of intense prayer, of intense penance, and of intense almsgiving. So our Lord stops. He says, bring him to me. Now, mind you, our Lord doesn't go to where he is. A lot of people would say, well, our Lord would have gone to where he was. Maybe he would have, but he didn't, did he? He had to go to Jesus. Jesus is here. Always. And in this particular shrine, he is in the most blessed sacrament in the tabernacle. Physically present. Transubstantially present. But spiritually also are the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're here. They're not out there. They're not at the Mardi Gras. They're not at the nightclubs or the movie theaters or whatever else. He's here. You need to come here. And so he did the same to this blind man. Bring him here to me. And of course, all of us, in many ways, are like the apostles who were there. And we must bring the blind man to Jesus. But if we don't, then he misses the boat altogether. But this one was brought because he was crying and crying. And they kept telling him, be quiet, you pest. And the more they told him, the louder he cried, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then he had him brought. What wouldst thou have me do for thee? Now you think our Lord didn't know? God wants us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto thee. We still have to ask. He knows what we need. He's not ignorant of anything. But we still have to ask. And all he says, Lord, that I may see. And he says, receive thy sight. And immediately he saw. Immediately he saw. Now what does it say about this blind man who has no name at this point? He says, and he followed him. The blind man who was no longer blind, who could see, followed him. He went with him and his apostles and disciples. He obeyed him. He did what Christ taught and said. This Christ, who has said to the apostles, who were totally dumbfounded and stupid, as most of us are, The Son of Man is about to be taken in, and he's going to be arrested and handed over to the Gentiles, and they will beat him and scourge him and eventually kill him, and he will rise on the third day. And they did not know what he said. How many of us know what he says? How many of us care what he says? All over, I turn around and I see people who have received what is supposedly a Catholic education for 10 years, 12 years, and they're doing all kinds of evil things. They were like the apostles. They were blind. They were deaf. Now this man, he was not any longer blind. And he followed Jesus. Such as we must follow Jesus. If necessary, with the cross on our back. Even if we fall again and again as he did, as we shall meditate during the stations of the cross during Lent. And then, no doubt he has already seen him face to face with the Father and the Holy Ghost. And he glorifies God forever in heaven. Are we going to meet him and find out his name? It's up to each of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.